So we move from the process of Kabbalah Olam HaShemayim, which is Rosh Hashanah, to a process of tshuva, where a person is going to be addressing the areas which are in his life and needs to address. It's moving from the forest to the trees. It's moving from the overall Kabbalah. I need to redirect myself, refocus, which hopefully the aura of Rosh Hashanah gave a person that clarity that I need to correct and address myself. And now I need to make it Lamaisa. Yisrael writes, he stresses that Yom Kippur, there's no day in the whole year which has the simcha of Yom Kippur. And Chazal said that Yom Kippur was a day of tremendous simcha. And if a person will look at themselves and, you know, say that I have problems, I have issues, I can't seem to address them, and then finally we find a day where I'm able to address them and correct my issues and correct myself. The person really took it to heart that the things bothered him. So Yom Kippur has to be a day of simcha. It has to be a day where a person says, oh, I'm able to address them. But it has to be real. It has to be a true Kabbalah Lamaisa, which is going to work. He says, otherwise, Yom Kippur doesn't, it's mechaper. It cleans us out. It takes away the tumor which is there. Ima tshuva with tshuva. But tshuva means a real Kabbalah al-Haba, that something's going to actually change. One of the biggest problems you have is that is yush. You know, I can't do it. It's hard to do it. I want to change. I've tried to change. It doesn't work. How do you do it? Like, it's too overwhelming. It's so much to do. Yisrael addresses that. He talks about the chali of yush, that the person that says, and there's no greater machla than the machla of yush. He says this feeling of that, I'm giving up, I can't do it. And he says that we have to understand that the Kudah, which he talks about, is what he calls Bechinas Kalas and Bechinas Kabedas. The person picks X amount of areas which he needs to address, he feels are very important, integral, they are central to his challenge, central to his what he needs to do. To understand that you're going to correct them like this, you're going to change them, that's not realistic. But a person will take, there are the easier areas versus the harder areas. It says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at, within the midst itself, he looks at different areas. He said, the example she gives is a basic Gemara Menachos, that the Einish for not putting on tzitzis, the white tzitzis, is greater than the Einish for not putting on the tchela tzitzis. The Gadol Einish Shal Lovim, the Einish Shal Tchelis. Tchelis costs money, costs a lot of money, right? So the Yetzer Hara for not doing chelis is greater. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, fine. So, yeah, I can do chelis. At least do the loving part. Yeah, I'm not doing it much. Don't do the whole thing. So that the mercy says, that's not true. God will Yetzer Hara love him more than the Yetzer Hara chelis. Once you get your letting go of the chelis, because the person whatever can't afford the chelis, he can't withstand any soyan of the cost of the chelis, that's not a reason to not do the loving. And a person doesn't do the lava, and he gets an anish for that. We usually, a lot of times, we take a all or nothing approach to mitzvahs, or to midos, to areas which we need to work on, and it's not true. A person wants to work on the mitzvah of kas. He feels he gets. He is too short-tempered. He responds too strongly. So there are times of greater stress where that's very hard to be, you know. There are times that the stress is less. So instead of picking, yourself says instead of picking that, okay, the caste quotient in my life is greatest Arab Shabbos. Last hour and a half before Shabbos. So I'm going to be Mecca Kabbalah, then I'm not going to get angry then. That's not the place to start. That's not the greatest place to start. Right? Maybe the place to start is a time where the person finds it not so challenging. That challenge of not getting angry is less for him. And start with that area. If he starts with that area, builds that up. See, he's working. He says he's called the Oisei Tshuva. I'm addressing my issue that I have with Kas. Well, that's not true. I didn't address this area. But that's because Rav doesn't ask you for perfection. He asks you to start the process. So you start the process by addressing that one area of it, which is not hard, which is Bechinas Kalus, the areas which are easier for you. From that vantage point, the person addresses it from that area, and it's a real Kabbalah. He really does make effort and progress in that area. So the next step is eventually will be easier because I have more control in that area. I have more self control. I'm more with it, etc. I said over from the Shir Das speaks about the Cheshivas, and this is one of the things that the Bali must have talked about, the idea of Maisim Ketanim. So the Maisim Ketanim, again, that doesn't mean, they said the story with Reb Shach, the story as is, I don't know, I didn't hear it from first hand, so I don't have to believe it. But even if it's true, it's not a relevant story to ourselves. You know, say, well, Reb Shach made his Kabbalah, he's going to mention a venture for the year. Okay? So you come to the Yom Neroyim and they take this big scale out, and one scale they put all of your Averis, you know, all the Lashon Hara that you said, and all the Bittul Torah that you did, and all of the pain that you've caused other people, and the Gezel that you've done, and the Histaklus, the service that you've done, and one thing, and they put, you know, you're benching from a bench on the other side, I made my Kabbalah, and therefore it wins, and I'm Nechtav and Nechtav L'chaim Tovim Mizyayim Adin. I don't know, it sounds a little bit strange to me. You know, that benching from a bencher is going to do that. But if a person says, I have X amount of areas of issue, and I need to address them, I'm going to find an area in them which needs to be addressed. I'm going to address it in a small way, but I'm going to address those areas which I have my problems, where I have my challenges, my personal areas which I have, where I am lucky. And I'm going to start and address them. I'm going to address them one by one, step by step. I'm not going to rush into it. So then I'm addressing my problems. I don't have to solve all the problems overnight, but I'm addressing my problems. I'm addressing my areas where of deficiencies. So that's a different ballgame. So if a person would come along and say, one of my areas of deficiency is I have a problem that I don't daven with kavanah. And what I want to address is being daven with more kavanah. And I'm going to start with benching. I'm a bencher, a bencher. Okay, so that person is addressing an area where he's deficient, with an area which he feels something which he could do and stick to. That's an honest Kabbalah, and it's an honest addressing of an issue. But you're not solving Lashon Hara by benching from a bencher. That's not fair. You know, that's not what the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't, you know, doesn't work like that. A person should take, now is the time, and should have done on paper. And there's two parts to the writing. There's really three parts to the writing. Step number one is the areas which I feel I need to address. I wanted to chew about. Now, again, if you start making that list, I don't know about you, but you know my list is very, very long. There's a lot of things I want to address. A lot of areas I need to address. That creates the yirsh again. And our goal is not to have a yirsh. Our goal is to work on something which will be real for the person. He will feel honestly that he can make a change. So, person takes, we can divide our lives into three areas, Ben Adam L'Malkim, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and Ben Adam L'Atzmai. Revolve divides into three areas. Ben Adam L'Malkim, those are the areas of mitzvahs, Ben Adam L'Malkim, my responsibilities vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. So, we talk about, those are obvious. Ben Adam L'Atzmai are the person's personal goals, person's personal life, areas which I would like to be a better person, this and that. It's what I'm looking at what my needs as a person are. I wish I was a more patient person. So my problem isn't that I have a problem with kas vis-a-vis somebody, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. I'm not happy that I'm an impatient person. Or I was just a person I had more zrizus. The problem isn't because I damaged somebody. The problem isn't because I haven't done my mitzvah. The problem is because I'm not a Zoris. I would like to be a Zoris. I feel it's important for me to have self-control. It's a problem that I have. I don't have self-control. I eat too much, right? So eating too much, that's not a very bad, but I feel that area ends up damaging me. An area that doesn't let me accomplish the goals I want to accomplish. I'm spending too much time eating and not enough time learning. I'm too lethargic Shabbos afternoon because I'm not learning enough because I ate such a large meal. I don't know, but again, it's not letting me accomplish what I want to accomplish. So it's not that I'm burning in Gehenna because of it. Maybe I will, but you know that's not the issue. Right? You know, one person is that he's too assertive. He's very confident. He doesn't listen to other people. So it's not I hurt somebody, but a person, an intelligent person, you know what? I probably should be listening to other people more. It makes sense. One person's not assertive enough. Well, if you're not assertive enough, there'll be times you're doing things which are wrong, but that's not your goal. That's not your issue. Your issue is, I don't get what I'm supposed to get when I need to get it, whether it's something which is important for my personal growth, I'm about to too quickly, whether it means sometimes I'm uncomfortable and embarrassed to present a halachic issue when it has to be presented, that's also a problem. There are many different. Each person has to look at themselves. Like what one person's issues, another one person is his problem. He's too assertive. One person, he's not assertive enough. You know, they're not going to be making the same kabbalas. Obviously. So it's an area called Ben Adam La'atzma. In those areas, a person takes 3, 4, 5 things in each one of them, and says, "Okay, this is the areas I want to address. These areas I want to work on. Areas I want to think about over the next few days." A, it's important to think about what I'm doing good with them. It's also important to think about what I'm not doing. A lot of times we talk about doing tshuva, we obviously talk about that we're not doing right. That's what the tshuva, you know, tshuva, the things you're doing right. That's correct. You know, we think of tshuva, we think of averus. But Rabbi was saying on Rosh Hashanah that the things we're doing right, are we doing them for the right motivations? Are we doing them with the right intent? Are we doing them with the same, the happiness that we should be doing them? There are areas which we need to address on the positive points. Besides that, it's important to see that the person says, you know what? I have strengths. I have strengths to build up. The third thing we need to think about is, what is really the problem? So a person comes to me that he has a problem that he doesn't have enough zrizus. Not zoriz enough. The problem might be zrizus. The problem might be that he's sad. It's very hard to be zoriz when you're sad. So trying to address zrizus, when really my problem is the fact that I'm sad, is not going to solve the problem. You're a person which he's short-tempered. His short-temperedness might actually come from a feeling of inadequacy. He feels uncomfortable presenting what he needs, so when people don't figure it out for himself, because he's more comfortable having them figure it out than him asking, he gets upset. So the problem really is, he's not assertive enough. He's not comfortable enough asking for what he needs up front, and therefore he's waiting for everybody to figure it out and be nice to him, and they're not doing it, so he gets upset. You know, so addressing the problem of having a short temper is not really his problem. So you have to be honest, you have to really, really think about what is the issue. Person says he wishes he was a bigger masman in learning. His issue might be, you know, study skills. His issue might be that, you know, he's talking out of a big masman. But his issue might be that he's not organized. So he doesn't get things done the way he leaves things at the last minute, he ends up running. Similarly, it interrupts and his mind doesn't think orderly. It might be that he doesn't think orderly and therefore he doesn't enjoy his learning. So he's not excited about learning. If a person would be more organized in his learning and get his learning clear and walk away at the end of the Seder knowing what he learned and feeling clear about what he learned, he might enjoy it more and be more of a masman. So addressing, well, I'm going to learn most about, you know, learning, that's good. She was a learning Torah. But if you haven't found the root of what's causing the problem, and that's not always so easy, you know, you're not really, really addressing the problem. There's a word from Leib Chassman, Leib Stuchener, that says that Chazal say that Shuvi Yisrael Hashem Lekecha, said by Hosea Novi comes from Reuven, because Baruch Hu says to Reuven, because you're Pesach B'Shuva, therefore your descendant will be the one who will be Zeichah to be Pesach B'Shuva, to Klai Yisrael, Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. So the question is, what does it mean Reuven was Pesach B'Shuva? He started Shuva. We need a Chazal say Adam Rishon to Shuva, Chazal say a kind of Shuva. I mean, in a certain sense, Avraham Avinu did tshuva. He came from a generation which was negative, and he found his way back. He came back to Kadosh Baruch Hu from a world of not. Okay, it wasn't the specific Aveira. What does it mean, Reuven's Pesach B'tshuva? So, Leib Chassman explained the Chazal that he was the first person who addressed the Mida, the underlying Mida, which was the problem. Reuven had a problem, he was Pachas Kamayim. So it wasn't the Aveira which was the issue. It was Pachas Kamayim. So he addressed the Mira. And that was the Chiddush of Reuven. He says a person gets on a ship and the ship is traveling. He needs to travel west. He's going on the ship a little bit. It doesn't look familiar. He says, you know, oh, yeah, we're going east. He says, oh, hey, we're going east. So he's on this end of the boat. So he walks to the west end of the boat. He's going west. Doesn't solve his problem. I'm correcting the problem. I'm going the other direction. No, you're not, but the boat's still taking you to the east. So it says, if I don't address the underlying Mira, it's all the tshuva I'm going to do in the world, not going to solve my problem. Because the underlying problem is still carrying me in another direction. So Reuven was mechadish that the issue was, he understood there was a Mira issue, and he had to address the Mira. Okay, so a person takes his Ben Adam Lamakim, and Ben Adam Atzma, Ben Adam Lachaveroi, and he tries to get down to what the root of the issue is, and then he takes a Bechina Kala. Bechina Kala says one area which it's the easier areas, as Rousseau says. Don't take the big thing. Revolba has a beautiful piece in the memory, Yemei Rotzen. He talks about the Dimatzin Tzaddikim and Rishoyim. He brings a Chazal. The Chazal say that he has it from Reb Simcha Zis and Alter from Kelim. The Alter from Kelim, there's a Chazal. Chazal say that Kadosh Baruch Hu was safe in the Bria, and he saw the Maisim of the Tzaddikim and the Maisim of the Rishoyim, and it's not sure whether he was. The matter says it's not clear whether Rishoyim liked the Maisim of the Tzaddikim better or the Maisim of the Rishoyim better. Until it brings a pasuk, they see heavy armor, then Bershom liked the mice of the tzaddikim better. So he said, what was the shock of attire? The mice of the tzaddikim, of the Rishoyim doing a veris, there's no havamina that Bershom wanted the mice of the Rishoyim doing a veris more than the mice of the tzaddikim doing a veris. The mice of the Rishoyim doing mitzvahs, doing the right thing, right? So, what's talking the shock of attire? Why are the mice of the tzaddikim better than the mice of the Rishoyim who are doing good things? He says, Tzaddikim understands that the Iker Avodah of the person is in small things. Rishonim do mitzvahs, but they do mitzvahs on a big scale. They understand the big things, the major issues they have to do. The Kleinigkeit and the small things, the Diktuk, that's not where they focus. So that's not a question. Is the Kadosh Baruch Hu more interested in the big things? Or it's defined by the small actions. Heavy armor and the big deposit that indicate that the ikir is the small mice. He says when it comes to tshuva, when it comes to yish, the rush has a big problem because he thinks in broad strokes and this sweeping picture. Well, you got to change. He says, I can't change because it's so big. So really, he's stuck. Says, but the tzaddik understands that it's small things. So I can change small things. I can handle that. So in the world of the Rosh, Yiyush is a major problem. There's a very big halois mokum for Yiyush. I can't make major changes. I have this list of Averis, which is from here to, you know, like the Ben Yonah says in the Vita from Ben Yonah. He says, it's greater than Nishmas HaPeinu. Remember, Shiva Rechaim Zuklid Ruach, he used to talk about, like, how is Shach Averis more than Nishmas Ruach HaPeinu? It's more than the amount of times we breathe. The more the breath that we have in our life, we have Averis. I mean, we only live that much. We can't have more Averis than we live. We said, more than our life, we have Averis. What does that mean? Right? Give up the belt. You know, so if you divide up our metzias into X amount of pieces, we'd say we have a billion pieces. We have more than a billion of averus. I mean, there's only a million pieces of me, so how can you do more than a billion of averus? That's you know, so the list is still whatever, you know. But I think in those terms, like yourself says, what I'm going to do is just say, I can't do this. Put my head down into the sand and go and move right. So no, that's not the point. So I have an issue with self-control. Right? So I define that my issue with self-control comes up in that I sleep too much. I eat too much. I talk too much. You know, I have different areas where I have my problem. I don't get done when I have to get done because I get involved in things which are sidetrack me. And I wish I was more focused on what I need to accomplish in life. So I have two. Now, the root of the problem might be, I don't believe I can do it. So instead of doing something which I believe I'm going to fail at, I'd rather get sidetracked. It's much more fun to sleep than to try and do something which I'm not good at, or to eat a lot. Or I'm pretty good at eating, you know. It's like might as well eat it. I can eat a lot and enjoy that, as opposed to trying to learn, which I don't feel I'm good at. So my problem isn't that I spend a lot of time at breakfast. That's not my problem. My problem is I'm not enjoying my learning. So, but once I decide my issue is self-control, and once I decide that is the issue, let's say, right? So say, okay, so I'm going to work on, you know. Revolba writes about, you know, the midah of talks about the midah of kedusha. We think, you know, kedusha means a person comes to breakfast and knows how much he actually needs to eat to for his needs, physical needs. You know, and he eats that, right? So if I know I need a bowl and a half of cereal to get me through the morning and feel, you know, what I need to get through the morning feeling fine, so I take a bowl and a half of cereal. Well, I'm there and there's a little more cereal left. Why not pour it in and have a... You know? So I'm not asking you to not eat your bowl and a half of cereal. I'm not asking you not to have two slices of bread. I'm asking you not to eat three more while you're there because it's there in front of your nose. Now, we all know that's very hard because it's there in front of our nose. So maybe my Kabbalah should be to walk away as opposed to sit there and say, I'm going to overcome, not even going to stare at it and overcome it. That's not a realistic Kabbalah for me. I tried for the last year to do that and I haven't been successful. Rizal Piskin says a story once with one of us. He walks in, one of his sons is yelling at another son, a younger brother. He said, so what happened? He says, well, I asked him to do X and X, and he didn't listen to me. You know, stop doing X and X. He didn't listen to me. He says, so what'd you do? So I yelled at him. He says, what happened? He says, he kept doing it. He says, so what'd you do? I yelled at him even more. And what happened? He kept doing it. So what'd you do? I yelled at him even more. I said, what happened? He says, you know what? This is not working. I said, yeah, that was good. Good. Yeah. I was hoping you'd get that eventually. I've been sitting staring at... that bowl of cereal every single morning for the last year, and I've never overcome the bowl of cereal. I haven't. So why do I believe that this year is going to be different? Well, this year I'm more serious about it. You probably said that last year. So I have a better idea. That's Bechinas Kvedas. For me, that's... Now, it's only a bowl of cereal, but for me, that's a Bechinas Kvedas. It's a difficult thing. So if I can make up that I come into breakfast late... and there's no cereal left, or I could decide that I, you know, I whatever, how I want to address it, in a way which is easier for me, or you know what, that's not an area I should address right now. Right? I can do it by lunches, the lunches that I don't like, you know, I mean, like, there's most lunches I don't know, you know. A person will say, what are the areas which are not so challenging for me? I'm still doing them anyway, because I basically just give up on the whole area. I lose it. Let's address those. A person who has a problem, he wastes a lot of time. So, has he learned that the process of prioritizing it? Does he sit and down every morning and do that? Is that realistic for him to do every morning? Rizal Piskin has in his book, Gateway to Self-Knowledge, questions, daily questions every morning. Right? You have to be very organized for that. I'm not very organized. If I would do those questions every day, I'd be much more organized. But the problem is I'm not organized enough to do the questions every morning. Okay, so for me, making Kabbalah, I'm going to make sure every morning at 7:15 in the morning, I'm going to pull out my list and read it. It's not going to happen. I mean, let's be honest. 17 most mornings, I'm still debating whether I should get out of bed. So that's not really a Kabbalah. But a person says, okay, that I can ask one of my chaverim, who's very organized, to every morning ask me, have you set up your day? And ask him to do that. And if necessary, give him an incentive to do that. If he does it for 3 weeks, I take him out to dinner. Right? So I solve my problem. Because it's an easy fix. But let's be creative. Rav Chalzel writes, he says, the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, he says, because I'll say that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is kofuf. The shofar of Kippur is poshut. Yishal Yael poshut. He says, why? So the more it says, because in Rosh Hashanah, the more bent over you are, the better. The process of Rosh Hashanah is bend yourself to the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's be kofuf. Yom Kippur is yosher, it's straight. The goal isn't kfifa. We did kfifa in Rosh Hashanah, hopefully. The goal is to think through things in an intelligent, logical way and address them, which needs a yashrus. So it's a yosher, it's a straight process. Person takes two or three areas of Edom L'Chaveri. There's, again, we spoke about this, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara anymore. That's not an honest Kabbalah. I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara between the hours of 10 or 11 in the morning. Also not an honest Kabbalah necessarily. Maybe it is for me, maybe it's not. But if I know the realities, there's certain realities, situations that are going to trigger Lashon Hara by me. And if that comes up during the 10 or 11 in the morning, it's still going to trigger it. It wasn't an honest Kabbalah. So what's an honest Kabbalah? It says, maybe I should learn how to not be in those trigger situations. A person has, again, any area a person takes. If you understand the root of what's causing it, and you understand the areas which are realistic for you to address at this point in time, and you address them, you have a chance at a real tshuva. If a real tshuva, it says that Yom Kippur is a yam of rachamim. Vatoma, we say in Kippur, Atoma le rachamim. Because Baruch is molech olor tzkavoyte. He's bigger than the universe. So the universe with its, 3 billion light years, from one side to the other side, is full of rachamim. It's Atoma le rachamim. It's a yam of rachamim. There's no world of rachamim as big as the Kadosh Baruch. The universe is smaller than that yam of rachamim. And Yom Kippur is a yam of racham. And we can tap into it. We make one Kabbalah, which is emes. That's it. That's all we need to do. There has to be an emes of Kabbalah. Rashi used to always say that we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, a person says, if you make a Pesach, Kechudah Shomachat, they'll give you this Pesach, which is big enough for wagons to go through. He says, we never made such a Pesach. Kechudah Shomachat? We make a Pesach, Kechudah Shomachat. He says, why did the Chazal use the mashal of Machat? Machat is metal. That hole in that metal is a permanent hole. It's a very small hole, but it's a permanent hole. It's duch and duch. It's drilled all the way through. Says it has to be an honest hole. It has to be a real hole. It has to be a real change. A mashahu of a change, but it has to be a real change. Russia says, you do that because you understand the importance of Torah mitzvahs. You understand what I want from you. You do that, I'll take you all the way. But you got to do something which is real. And the void of now or this week is to make it real. Honest. What am I going to set in place which is going to help me get there? What am I going to do to make sure that I don't fall by the wayside at the time Erev Sukkos comes around, my Kabbalah is in a little piece of paper in my wallet, which, but that's where it stays. Or Halavai, I was being nice saying Erev Sukkos. Right? Usually the day after Yom Kippur, a lot of things fall apart. It was a very busy day. It's a crazy day. You're not Masudra, you're not normal. I made a Kabbalah that during Seder, by the time Seder comes around, I forgot what Seder looks like because the day after Yom Kippur didn't work for me. I already lost it then. So you have to make it real. And we make it real. We make it so the Rishu says there's no mocking for Yiyush. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not calling upon you to make a major turnaround in your life. There are moments in a person's life we're called upon that. And usually we're given the Sefer Shemai to do those in those moments, right? And we're called upon to make a real, honest beginning of a redirection. And when you take that direction, you turn the other direction, and it's an honest change, where it will take you eventually is very, very far. But it's one step at a time. And that's all you need, is one step at a time. But you have to change direction. And change direction is not that hard when you're talking about something which is not overwhelming and difficult, but small.